Glorious day, isn't it? What a day for all of us, the day that Jesus was born. What a day for us, the day that Jesus died. What a day for us that Jesus rose from the dead. What a day for us when Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to us all. What a day when we came to know that Jesus loves us all no matter what. God sent his son to bring love to this earth, not the kind of love that we often have in human terms, but in godly terms. The love that passes all kinds of understanding. You can't always understand why God would love you, but God certainly does. And we see in the story of Micah, in the prophecies, and then we see in the New Testament, in the book of Luke, in the book of Matthew, how Jesus was born. But I want to focus in this morning on, first of all, where Jesus was born, but most importantly, why he was born. God had a plan. God saw that people needed something above themselves, something that they could hold on to, something that could be permanent for them, something that would last forever throughout eternity, the love of God. And so in Micah chapter 5, it says, "But you, Bethlehem, are only a small village among all the people of Judah." Bethlehem. That was the place that Jesus was born. Bethlehem. A small village. In fact, it says only a small village. See, God takes the small things in life, the small places, the small people, and God does miraculous, awesome things within all of those places and people. Look at us, right? Look at you. Look at Bethlehem. A ruler of Israel whose origins are in the distant past. That's a reference to John 1. Before the world was made, the Word was there. And the Word was made flesh and came to live among us. Jesus was there with God and created everything in Genesis as it's written, and also was there with God when the time came for God to say, "I need to send someone to this earth to help straighten things out, to help make people different and understand my love more." You are a ruler whose origins of the distant past. You will come from me on my behalf. So we know that God sent Jesus on his behalf. The people of Israel who are abandoned until the woman in labor gives birth. Who's that woman in labor? Mary, of course. This is Micah, the prophet Micah speaking. 1,000 years before Jesus' birth. Then at last his fellow countrymen return from exile to their own land, and he will stand to lead his flock with the Lord's strength in the majesty of the name of the Lord our God. He will lead his flock. What does that tell us? He will be a shepherd, right? He'll be a good shepherd, as we also read in John. Then his people will live there undisturbed. Wouldn't it be great if you could live your life undisturbed? We're so easily disturbed, aren't we? By any little thing that might go wrong or not go our way. When we can't control the things we can't control, we get a little disturbed, don't we? But see, God sent his son Jesus to live in us so we could stay undisturbed. This is a reference, obviously, when the disciples were in the boat. Remember, Jesus was asleep, and the disciples were taking on water, right? And it was raining, and they thought they were going to drown. They were disturbed, very disturbed. But there was Jesus in the boat and said, "Peace, be still." Calms the disciples, calms the wind, calms the waves. Whenever you're going through life and you feel disturbed, because we get a little disturbed around this time of year, don't we? That Amazon gift is not coming yet, and I need it by tonight, and I have to have it. Oh, you're not going to deliver tomorrow, Christmas Day, and I burnt the cookies again, And they're out of pumpkin. They don't have any canned pumpkin anywhere. Do we not get disturbed over so many unimportant things? Yes, we do. When I give you a gift, know this. It's the intention that counts. Enough said. His people will live there undisturbed, for he will be highly honored around the world, and he will be their source of peace. See, when Jesus is your source of peace, you can stay undisturbed, can't you? When you have his strength within you by the power of the Holy Spirit, you can feel strong and enabled, can't you, and empowered to do great and miraculous things, right? And you can let the little things be little and the main thing be the main thing, right? Because the reason we give gifts this time of year is to show people love, right? It's an act of love that's why we do those gifts, right? But it's not just on Christmas that we give gifts, correct? At least not in this church, correct? We're an everyday kind of church, aren't we? We're a loving church all the time, aren't we? And even with somebody that we may not constantly always have a good, you know, relationship with, because maybe they're different from us and they don't do things our way and their brain works different than us and they don't exactly see things our way, we can still be undisturbed and be at peace with them, can't we? Wouldn't it be great if you could have peace in your homes, in your workplace, in yourself, in your car? You knew it was coming, right? Now you're asking too much, Pastor. Oh, that's all about spiritual growth, is it not? The more we understand and the more we move through and in the Holy Spirit, because Christ lives in us. He may have come into a manger, and he also went to a cross, and he went to a tomb. But after that, he sent the Holy Spirit, and he put that Holy Spirit where? In us, and he is our source of peace, love, joy, everything that's good. So if you need reminders from time to time, just kind of tap yourself wherever you want to tap yourself. Usually it's right in my gut. I feel Jesus the most. Tap yourself when you're in a moment and you're having a difficult time and perhaps you feel disturbed. Jesus is a source of my peace. I'm going to be undisturbed. He's my shepherd. He's going to take care of me, especially as a sheep that I am that often goes astray. And he's going to pull all the briars off me when I go the wrong way. And bring me back into the fold. That's who our Jesus is, right? But back to Bethlehem. I was going to talk about Bethlehem. Bethlehem, very often in the Hebrew language, they use numbers. And numbers add up to words. And the name of Bethlehem, it actually in numbers means nativity. Nativity. Bethlehem, that was the place that Boaz lived. He was the one who redeemed Ruth when Naomi and Ruth were there and had nothing. They would be able to get food from the wheat fields. And it was through Boaz that person was, they were redeemed. Boaz had a descendant. His name was David. He was born in Bethlehem also, and he tended sheep. David was a shepherd. David was also the one who was anointed in Bethlehem by Samuel to be the king of the Israelites. The name City of David was put in Bethlehem because of that anointing. And the descendant of David, the reason that Joseph and Mary had to go to Bethlehem was for the census, because they were descendants of David, the king. And 1,000 years after this was written, as I already said, that city, Bethlehem, that little small village that was obscure and didn't mean much to everybody else around, it's about 5.5 miles from Jerusalem, nowhere near the temple of God, nowhere near the religious center. But in a little obscure city or town, really, that's where the Savior of the world has prophesied, the Messiah that the Israelites had been waiting for, that's where he was born. And he, the King of Kings, was born in the very same place that David, the king, was also raised. Bethlehem is a significant place, as prophesied. But more importantly, we know that the prophecy said that the Messiah would come into a small village named Bethlehem. So sometimes if you think you're small, if you think you're just this little place, if you think you're insignificant, if you think you're not all that, you know, religious up and all that good stuff, and you don't always know the words of the songs, and you don't have the scriptures memorized in your brain, and you sometimes don't always understand the Bible, you don't understand some of these stories, and if you think, oh, well, how could God possibly use me? Well, I look at it this way. If God could use a small village by the name of Bethlehem for the nativity, for the King of Kings to be born, for the Good Shepherd to be born, and for the shepherds that were around that place to come and worship him, he certainly can use you and me, can't he? Nothing is too small that God can't place his power, love, and spirit into that place, or especially that person. Those shepherds, by the way, they were out there tending sheep. And they're the ones the angels came and called to come and see this newborn baby. The reason for that is this. He was the good shepherd right there in that manger, in that stable. But also, those shepherds, they used to raise those sheep for sacrifice to take to the temple as lambs that would be slain for the forgiveness of sins. That's how the old religious order did the kind of ways of forgiving sins, the Day of Atonement. So those shepherds were significant because instead of those sheep going to slaughter and going to be put on the altar and put there for sacrifice, guess who they came to see? The Lamb of God. The Lamb of God who takes away all the sins of all the world. That's the significance of those shepherds. Obscure people, very often just taking a lamb to the offering. But yet they see the Lamb of God who would be the final offering for all of us so we could be forgiven. Bethlehem, the house of bread. That's what it means in Hebrew, bread. Where's bread in the Bible? Bread, why bread? Bread? Oh, yeah, daily manna, yeah. Oh, yeah, unleavened bread when the Israelites left in Egypt, right? Bread was involved. Huh, bread. Bread, what's bread got to do with anything? Bread. John 6. In chapter 6 of John, Jesus fed people with bread and fish, 5,000 of them. Bread was sustenance back then. It was a provision. Anybody, rich or poor, always had bread. And bread would always be shared amongst people all the time. If you had nothing else in your house, even if you go back to the Old Testament and you see 1 Kings and you see where Elijah was fed bread by the widow woman, remember her? Right? Bread is significant because it's a sustenance. It's a way to give something, someone who's hungry, something to eat. So he feeds 5,000 people. And in verse 22 of John 6, it says, the next day the crowd that had stayed on the far shore saw the disciples had taken the boat and realized Jesus had gone with them. They followed them across the lake, and they realized Jesus was on the other side. And he said, Rabbi, when did you get here? And Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. You want to be with me because I fed you bread. Not because you understand the miraculous signs of the bread, how he performed feeding everyone. But don't be so concerned about perishable things like food. We're not concerned about anything like that, right, gang? No. Those burnt cookies are going to be just fine. Spend your energy seeking eternal life that the Son of Man can give you. For the God the Father has given me his seal of approval to give you that gift. They replied, "We want to perform God's works too. What should we do?" Jesus told them. Now, I'm not going to necessarily agree with this statement from Jesus. Because as you well know, when you become a member in our church or you serve in our church, the first thing I say to you is, get to work. But this is what Jesus said. "This is the only work God wants from you. Believe in the one he has sent." You don't have to do anything to earn God's love. You don't have to really be the best at what you do in church as you serve. All you have to do is believe in the one he has sent. How simple religion can be, right? They answered, "Show us a miraculous sign if you want us to believe in you." What can you do? Let's do some magic tricks there. That's what they're asking. I love people. They want proof, right? Show us how you're real. After all, our ancestors ate bread, manna, while they journeyed through the wilderness. The scriptures say Moses gave them bread from heaven to eat. Are you better than Moses, I guess is what they're asking, right? They're sticking with the Old Testament. Jesus said, "I tell you the truth. Moses didn't give you bread from heaven." Where does everything come from, folks? God. My Father did. And now he offers you the true bread from heaven. The true bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. "Sir," they said, "give us that bread every day." Jesus replied, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. You haven't believed in me, even though you have seen me. However, the Father has given me will come to me, those, and I will never reject them. Anyone who comes to me, I will never reject them." Can you hear that? Whoever comes to Jesus, God will never reject them. Doesn't that give you peace? So don't be disturbed about whether or not God accepts you. "I have come down from heaven to do the will of God who sent me, not to do my own. And this is the will of God, that I should not lose even one of all those he has given me, but I should raise them all up at the last day. For it is my Father's will that all who see his Son and believe in him should have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day." The bread of life is what Jesus is. Bethlehem, house of bread. Who showed up at the house of bread? The house of plenty. That would be Jesus. Plenty of love, plenty of grace, plenty of mercy, plenty of joy, plenty of help, plenty of strength, plenty of forgiveness, plenty of sacrifice. Did I say plenty of love? Everything you need. For when? Forever. Today? Tomorrow? Forever. So you see about that whole manna thing? It was daily bread, as you well know. But at night, they couldn't get anything for the next day. That's the difference between what Moses did and what Jesus did. Jesus gave us bread for every single day of the year, forevermore, for you, for me, for everyone. So you're never, ever going to be without love, mercy, grace, forgiveness, power, all the things that you need. That's how you're never going to be hungry again. Spiritually speaking. everything, everything you need, I need, we all need every single day. You ever need some hope? You ever need some joy? You ever need some healing? You ever need some forgiveness? You ever need to forgive? Anybody here ever need acceptance? Anybody here need peace? How to best be free of anxiety and be undisturbed is to connect to that peace that passes all understanding within you and eat that bread of life. You notice it's not bread of a day. It's bread for your entire life. Because life is not just things and places and all that stuff. It's all the other stuff that we struggle with from time to time, isn't it? Those difficulties that we often face. But yet we have a Savior who takes care of us every single moment of the day. You know that song, I need thee every hour. I need thee every minute. I need thee every second. Well, guess what? You have everything you need in Jesus Christ. You do. There was another time where there was bread shared. It was at the Last Supper. It was the Passover meal. And Jesus was there with his disciples on the way to his death, to die for all of us, to be the sacrificial lamb, so that we could have forgiveness of all of our sins and have eternal life once and for all. And there he was with those disciples, and he took some of the bread from the table, and he broke it. And he said, this is my body broken for you and for all humanity. He took his body upon that cross, broke it, so that the Spirit of God could be poured forth upon us all. And then he took the cup from the table, the cup of forgiveness, and he instilled the new covenant of mercy and grace forevermore. That one day of atonement was set aside. You can be forgiven every single day, every moment of every day because of what Jesus did at that Last Supper. In fact, you've been forgiven for everything you've ever done or will do because of what Jesus did on the cross. It's for today, tomorrow, forever. And then he took that cup and he handed it to the disciples and he took that bread and he said, share it among yourselves. As you love each other, that's how people will know that you belong to me. And so this morning we're going to have communion. We're going to take it and we're going to share it among you. We have bread. It didn't come from Bethlehem, but it really did when you think of it. And we have grape juice representing the cup of forgiveness. And as the pastors pass it out to you all, because we are shepherds, shepherds are here to care for the sheep and to provide for the sheep and to feed the sheep, spiritually especially. And so we're going to bring that out to you this morning. And then we'll take communion all together at one time. So we'll give you the instructions when to do that. The only thing we ask is that you believe in Jesus Christ. And if you want to start believing on the way as we're walking down the aisle, that would be okay too. And we'll serve you that communion. But it's a great reminder for you to understand that we are here to share love with one another. And the greatest love any of us can share with anyone is the love of Christ. He came from heaven to earth to show us how to live, how to love, how to serve, how to sacrifice, how to have peace, but more importantly, how to love each other. So we have a special song that we're going to play. Those on Facebook, we're going to leave the video on. We may lose the sound because it may get muted on Facebook, but that's okay. Just we pray for you. Remember this. Anytime you pick up bread, and I know a lot of us have bread here a lot. I think it's God's little reminder every time we get a drop off. We got plenty of bread. God's making sure. And remember that the bread of life lives in this place and is always ready to provide. But we're not so concerned always about physical bread, are we? It's a spiritual bread that we get from Jesus every day. When you need anything, just call on the name of Jesus. He encapsulates everything you could ever need on any given day. No matter when it is, if you are hungry for anything, just say the name of Jesus. Feel him inside. And peace will come. Joy will come. Hope will come. Love will come. And life will come again. God is a resurrecting God. I have full belief in that. So if you are a person this morning who needs revival, this bread and this grape juice, I promise, will revive your very soul.